This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the BetRivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider. You're listening to The Bullpen with Adam the Bull on the BetRivers Network.
On a sunny and cool, it is a gorgeous Thursday afternoon. Welcome on into the bullpen. I am your host, Adam the Bull, and this is another live edition of the Bullpen with Adam the Bull. The Cavs will play game number 6 of their Eastern Conference playoff series against the Magic in Orlando at 7 p.m. tomorrow. Jason Lloyd of The Athletic and from the Ultimate Cleveland Sports Show will join me in about 15 minutes to discuss. For now, I will take your calls, I say. If you click on the link just about a minute or two ago, I tweeted out a link that you can click on. You either have to be on Google Chrome or you got to download the Riverside app. And if you do that, you can click on the link and I will bring you up to join me live on air. Your mug on air with my mug. So there you go. If you have a question, a comment, you want to jump in, we will take you on the air live. We'll talk to Jason at 2:15 between now and then. We'll get into the Cavs, but also the Guardians coming off an exciting win. And I just saw this breaking news that I know a lot of fans are going to be excited about. The Guardians just moments ago announcing that C.C. Sabathia will be inducted into the Guardians Hall of Fame on August the 3rd. I had a chance to meet C.C. for the first time. I can't remember what it was. Sometime in the last year, he was in Cleveland, and he came in studio with us at the Ultimate Cleveland Sports Show. Couldn't have been nicer. He looked great. He was always a big guy, but he had trimmed down, and he was in great shape, and just a remarkably nice guy. I mean, at least my experience with him was that, and everything you hear about him is that. Well-deserved honor. He was a great pitcher for the Indians at the time. Sadly, they traded him away. He then had that great couple of months in Milwaukee and obviously was fantastic for the Yankees. He's getting into the Guardians Hall of Fame. It's going to be interesting to see, does he get into the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame? I think he will. I think he's borderline. And I think those last couple of years he started to go downhill with the Yankees, and then he changed the way he pitched, and he got he had two more years at the end of his career where he kind of bounced back and was pretty good again, and I think that put him over the top for me. If I had a vote, I would vote C.C. Sabathia into the Hall of Fame. Again, he's not a no-brainer, but I in the end would go in favor of C.C. Sabathia. So there you go. Again, if you have a question, you could put it in the chat. We'll read the questions there. You could tweet them to me, or you could join me live by clicking the link that is in that I just put out on Twitter a few minutes ago. As for the Guardians, they'll play the final game of their series with the Houston Astros tonight. It's a light schedule in Major League Baseball. There are 4 games going on right now. Fifth game that's going to start in about a half an hour. There's only one baseball game tonight, and it's the Guardians and the Astros at 8:10. Logan Allen will be on the hill for the Guardians. He has struggled to a 5.46 ERA, but that's not nearly as bad as the rookie Spencer Arrighetti, who is pitching for Houston tonight. I believe it's his 4th major league start. He has a 10.97 ERA and a 2.34 whip. No excuse for the Guardians not taking advantage of him tonight. And so we'll see what they can do. I know there's still a lot of frustration over the fact that Kyle Manzardo, who's been red hot at AAA Columbus, has not been called up. Obviously, this would be a good matchup for him to face. A guy who's probably faced in the minors and is struggling at the majors, but it's not meant to be. I don't know why the Guardians haven't called him up. The only legitimate excuse, it's not legitimate, the only thing that makes sense is that there's manipulation of service time, and by now they would get a seventh year with him, but if he finishes top three rookie of the year, they would lose that seventh year. And I know Jason, he and I were talking about it on the UCSS earlier, and he thought that might be the thing here. But the Guardians got to play to win, and there's no excuse to have him in the minors right now. But we'll see if they'll bring him for this next home series. After playing tonight, the Guardians have a six-game homestand against the Angels, who are really struggling, and the Tigers. And so, you know, you're playing some teams here that the Tigers are decent. The Angels stink, and then you got the White Sox, a four-game series at the end. It's starting with the Astros. It really was a perfect time to bring him up. Hopefully it won't be too much longer. Hopefully we'll see him tomorrow against the Angels. I mean, I guess it's still possible they bring him up today, but I doubt it on the end of a road trip. But we'll see. But the Guardians, along with the Braves, became the first teams to get to 20 wins with their victory last night, their fourth straight extra inning victory. They beat the Astros 3-2 in 10. They've gone 2-2 in those extra inning games. hopefully they can avoid extras tonight. But a nice bounce back off that heartbreaking loss on Tuesday to get it done yesterday. What was really promising was the start by Tristan McKenzie. He doesn't get the win because he gave up the tying run in the top of the seventh when Kyle Tucker took him deep. But I thought it was the best Tristan McKenzie has looked. I was really happy with how he pitched because right now Tanner Bibee's the only guy I trust. McKenzie gave up some hard contact, but in the end, only five hits, including the home run, one walk, two earned runs allowed, the home run, and then Altuve knocked in a run also with an RBI single. And he had six strikeouts, 90 pitches. He looked his fastball was up a tick. And the curveball, which has been his best pitch this year, was nasty yesterday. Bullpen did a great job. Again, guys are getting a lot of work. Fortunately, none of the bullpenners threw more than 12 pitches yesterday. Barlow, Heron, Smith got two outs apiece. And Emmanuel Clase got three outs. And they threw a total of 31 pitches between the four of them to get the six outs, or I'm sorry, the nine outs because it went to extra innings, and to finish the game. So not a overwork, but Barlow, Heron, Smith, and Clase especially have all pitched well. Emmanuel Clase, a perfect ninth. He's 9-for-11 in save attempts. He's given up one earned run. He's just been really sensational. And this bullpen, which again, they're going to need help because they're getting overworked, and McKenzie being able to go through seven yesterday made a big difference and will hopefully help going forward, even though they still used four relievers. Getting deeper starts and avoiding extra innings for a fifth straight day will hopefully help. Hopefully Logan Allen can get him at least six innings today. He has struggled to do that so far this season. He got pitched really well last year, but he has really struggled. I mean, he's allowed a lot of base runners. Let me see his longest outing this year. He went in his second start against the Mariners on April 3rd. He went 6 2/3. He has not even gone six innings since then. Every start has been 5 2/3 or less outside of that one start against Oakland. Against Seattle, and he pitched well in that start. His first two starts, he went 11 2/3, allowed 10 base runners, three runs, three walks, and six strikeouts. In his last four starts against two good teams in Atlanta and the Yankees and two terrible teams in Oakland and the White Sox, in his last four starts, he's gone 19 2/3 innings, 23 hits, eight walks, so 31 base runners and 19 2/3, not good. He's allowed 16 runs, which is terrible. Four homers, 17 strikeouts. But he has not pitched well. He was bad against Atlanta. He was really bad against the Yankees. They need a good start, and they need some innings from him. They need some of these guys to eat up some innings as we go. Kevin Bull, what was Victor Caratini doing last night in extras? I don't know what he was doing. Victor Caratini. Good for us. He was bad base running. That's what he was doing. He thought the ball was going to drop. Stephen Kwan did make a very good play, but you can't just take off like that. I don't know what he was thinking there. But that was terrible base running by him. Zach says, hey, Bull, sorry, just joined a little late. That's fine. It's all good. Welcome aboard. We'll switch gear. Oh, yeah, we got our first caller of the day. Let's bring in Corey. We haven't seen Corey in a couple of weeks. What's up, Corey?
Hey, how's it going, Bull?
Good, man.
It sounds like may sound like a weird question because obviously Bo Naylor is the future.
Yeah.
But Fry, in all the opportunities he's had, he's played very well. I know he's 28, so he's not exactly the future of this team. But how much do you think Fry should be playing versus Naylor? Because for a win now, I know most likely Naylor is a better overall prospect and everything, but with this offense and everything, should Fry be playing pretty much every day, or do you want to stick with Naylor to let him hit through this? I mean, how do you judge this?
Because it's a great question because you're right. David, you know, Naylor's the much better prospect, the much heralded player, but David Fry's been fantastic. He's done a great job for the Guardians. But sometimes there are players who are better when they don't play too much. And my guess is David Fry is one of those guys. I think they're using him smartly, and he's getting a decent amount of playing time. Bo Naylor, we saw it at the end of last year. The last 2 months, he was fantastic. And you're right, he's off to a terrible start here. And they need his bat. But no, I would not, as good as Fry has been, I would not play him every day. I think they're balancing it well. Listen, if Bo Naylor a month from now is still batting .150, then you might have to do something. But I think he built up enough goodwill and showed you enough the last 2 months of last year that I'm not gonna like take him out of the mix this quickly. I got to give him more time because the upside with him is really high. But it's a good question because, you know, and I think they've been trying to get Fry in the lineup as often as possible, especially against lefties. But he's been great. He's been very clutch. He's done an excellent job. So. He's been probably the biggest pleasant surprise in the lineup.
And I guess the other quick question is, we need pitching, we need hitting, I know all that, and if we're actually pretty good, especially with Cookie being as old as he is, what prospects do you think the Indians / Guardians would be willing to part with realistically in order to get a top, maybe not even a top line pitcher, but the Blackburns or I know you guys have spoken about Oakland in the past.
Yeah.
Realistically, would they be willing to give up to go for it this year?
What they'd be willing to give up, I'm not sure. If I were them, I'd be willing to trade anybody but Manzardo, honestly. I know everybody loves Chase DeLauder and he's got a ton of potential. Now, I wouldn't trade Chase DeLauder for the guys you mentioned, Paul Blackburn and the A's guys. I'd give a lower tier prospect. But I do think at some point the Guardians need to get aggressive and go after a top of the line pitcher. And I would be willing to trade anybody, and I would even trade Manzardo in the right deal, but I would have Manzardo in the big leagues playing. If I could get an elite starter, I would trade Chase DeLauder. I would. I doubt they will. And there probably is not the right trade there. Outside of those two guys, I mean, you know, you look at what MLB.com has as their prospect list right now. Daniel Espino's listed as their third best prospect. He's barely pitched the last 3 years. He's had so many injuries. Ralphie Velasquez is a kid who's years away from the majors. Big kid, 18 years old, has looked great at the lower minors. Everybody else, whether it's Valera, whose star has kind of gone down a little bit, Juan Brito, who could be with the big league club at some point. I would trade, you know, once if you're looking at Brito, Valera, Alex Clemmy, Joey Cantillo, I'd be open to trading any of those guys. Juan Brito, Velasquez to improve the pitching staff. This team can win. The American League is up for grabs. The Orioles are the best team, I think, but I don't think they're that good that they can't be beat. I think the Guardians need to go for it this year. They are the best team in this division. I think they got a great chance to win the division, and the division's better. Obviously, the Twins have won 10 in a row, although 7 of the 10 were against the White Sox. The Royals and Tigers continue to be decent. There's competition, but there's no, you know, dominant team in the American League. So the Guardians, I'm not saying they got to do it today, but once we get closer to the trade deadline, they've got to be aggressive in getting a pitcher. Outside of Gavin Williams, who's not, you know, going to be ready for a while, there's no internal help coming for this pitching staff. None. Joel says, what up, Bull? Well, let's see. Grant says, what's up, Bull? Who do you think the Guardians are taking with the first pick? Still too early to say for sure. There's some interesting choices. Robert, Jose, and Josh both had bad at bats last night. They did. Grant, can you trade a first pick for the proven starter? No, can't trade those. Who do you think will be the best of the Royals, Tigers, and Twins? Let me ask Jason Lloyd that. We're going to talk hoops with him. Jason is with us now. What's up, Jason?
We're going to talk hoops with him. Jason is with us now. What's up, Jason?
Well, now we're hearing.
You caught me by surprise.
I did. I got to keep you guessing.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, but we're hearing. I don't know what's going on.
Can you hear me?
I'm hearing myself there.
Hang on. I was trying to go headphones. Let me go no headphones and just camera speaker.
Okay, let's see if it works. No, I'm still hearing myself.
You don't hear me?
No, I hear you, but I'm hearing myself, an echo.
Oh, that sounds like a you problem.
Well, we'll have to work through it. So, who do you think's the best? The Twins, the Royals, or the Tigers, or the other three teams?
Twins. But I think the Royals and Tigers are better. Like, I'm adamant about that. I always thought this division was going to be better this year, that this wasn't as bad as everyone thought it was going to be. But I still think the Twins are getting healthy and they're getting hot now.
Although 7 of this 10-game winning streak is against the White Sox.
All right, fair. But, I mean, they got their closer back.
Yes.
So that's big for them.
But they just lost Buxton.
Yeah, they always lose Buxton. That's true. That's not a surprise. That's true. He's always hurt. They got a really good bullpen, top to bottom. I'm not sold on their starters. I've never liked their starting pitching all the way through. But of those three, I still like the Twins the best.
By the way, Corey is asking, can you ask Jason if there's an update on the Albert Bell story for The Athletic?
Oh, man. Yeah, I got to write it. I just got to finish it. There's a couple of things that I was trying to, a couple of details I've been trying to lock down, and I just haven't done that yet. A couple of things I have to confirm, but I do need to do that. I got to get that out.
Mm. All right. I don't know what's going on.
By the way, my car stinks. So I got back in after the show.
Yeah.
It smells rancid in there. I was just out there trying to figure out where it's coming from. It smells, you ever have that where like you get in your car like, oh my God, what does that smell?
Like somebody died in there or there's a dead animal?
You know, like something. It's bad. It's bad. I don't know what it is.
Did you open up like the trunk and the hood to see if like somehow a mouse got caught in there or something?
No, I didn't know. I mean, I don't have food in there. I don't know what it is. Mm. It smelled horrendous the whole drive. Mm. Like I still smell it on me. It's so bad.
Like hockey locker room bad?
Pretty close. Oof. Yeah, it's bad. Oof. It's bad.
All right, well, hopefully you can solve that problem. But Grant says that I farted in your car. I did not. That is not true, Grant.
That is not true, Grant.
That is a lie. Jason, let's talk about the Cavs tomorrow. How confident are you feeling about their ability to, I guess, win the series, not necessarily end it in game 6?
I picked them in 6 prior to the series. I thought Cavs in 6. And just watching them in 4 kind of talked me out of it. I tend to think Orlando wins at home, and this comes back here on Sunday. I hope I'm wrong. I hope they just close it out Friday. We talked about it on the show a little bit today. We touched on it. Paolo Banchero is a problem, and he's all that they have, so it shouldn't be that big of a problem. Mm-hmm. But watching him on the road. When I was on our Cavs podcast, and I likened it to game 3 of the 2015 finals. So the year LeBron came back and Kyrie and Kevin were both hurt. And it was basically LeBron and the band of misfits.
Right.
And the Cavs win game 3 at home to go up 2-1 in that series. And after the game, I'm down in the hallway and David Griffin was there with like his arms folded and his head down. Like he was not at all as excited as you would think the GM would be of a team that just went up 2-1 in the finals. And I was talking to him and he's like, we're screwed. Like Steph figured it out. Steph Curry figured out our coverages, figured out what we were doing because Steph got hot in that fourth quarter of that game. And while the Cavs won, Griff's feeling was like, oh man, like this isn't good. And I kind of got that feeling with watching Banchero play on the road in a game five as well as he did. Granted, they lost, but he was phenomenal, and it sort of felt like that was his arrival moment. So I'm curious to see him at home in game six, and then if it comes back here on the road in game seven. I still think the Cavs win the series. It's funny the swings that it's taken because, again, I thought six Cavs and six before it started, they go up 2-0, and you think, all right, well, maybe it's going to be five. You know, Orlando might get one. And then the way that Orlando just blew their doors off in both of those games down there, it's been a fun series. Like, it's been, even though some of those games are really lopsided, it's been a competitive series. It's been a fun series. Game five the other night was great for the theatrics of it, and we'll see how it ends now.
You could argue that the Magic have overall played better in the series than the Cavs have.
Yeah, they haven't. They just haven't shot it well.
Yeah,
like that, and they're not a good shooting team. Like that has to be their offseason focus now, of get Paolo a point guard, like a legitimate point guard. Get him some shooting help. Just get him one shooter, instead of making this kid do it all himself. But I've really enjoyed watching him. I think he's a phenomenal talent. And I'm curious to see. I'm excited to see how his career goes from here.
What happens first? The Cavs season ends, or Kyle Manzardo's in the majors?
I'm going to be optimistic for once in my life, and I'm going to say Kyle Manzardo's in the majors.
You think so?
I hope.
All right.
Go ahead.
What percentage chance do you give the Cavs of beating Boston, assuming Boston doesn't blow a 3-1 lead?
18%. Because I actually think they, like, they just have to win a series and, like, get it off their back.
Yeah.
And they are a talented team. They haven't always played like it. But the Cavs are a talented team. And Boston, there's just, up until now, and we'll see with the personnel changes that they made, you know, some of the moves that they made, bringing in Drew Holiday, bringing in Porzingis, there was just something fundamentally wrong with that team because they should have a championship by now. I have zero faith in their head coach, and I know a lot of people don't like JB, but I have zero faith in Joe Mazzulla in a tight and close game to make the right calls. So It's not zero. Like I think the Cavs, I absolutely think the Cavs could beat Boston. I don't think it's likely. I wouldn't pick them to do it, but this is a talented team. They should at least steal a couple games and make it a series.
Does the Cavs playing a competitive series, say, even if they lost in five, but it was competitive, certainly six. Does that save jobs? Yeah. Even JB?
You got to see how it plays out. I think there's going to be significant changes coming up here when this ends. Now, if they win, if they lose in five and it's four buzzer beaters for Boston, you know, I still think there's probably changes, but we have to see it play out and see what it looks like, see how that series unfolds.
Who are you picking to win the NBA title?
Boston, I guess. I know I just got done saying that they're flawed and I don't trust their coach. They are, to me, they're the most talented team in the league. They should. It should be a Boston-Denver finals. And I'll take Boston. Oh, I think that'd be a great series. I think a Boston-Denver finals would be a hell of a series.
Jason, good stuff, buddy. Thanks for taking a few minutes.
All right, buddy.
Talk to you later.
Yep.
All right, Jason Lloyd from the Ultimate Cleveland Sports Show and The Athletic. I don't know what was happening with that echo. I have no idea. I thought you folks were not hearing it, but then I see Marty tweet, sends a message, why does Bull have such a bad echo? I couldn't figure it out. It was a weird thing. So there you go. Sorry for the echo. Zach asks, who do you guys think the Celtics would rather play? I think they'd rather play Orlando because ultimately the Cavs are the better team, but I don't know. Sorry, Evan 419. I did not throw a barf bag in Jason's car, but it's a good idea. I might do it another time. More likely Garland or Mobley to get traded. I would say definitely Garland. Yeah, it's gone. It had something to do with Jason being on there. I don't know. I definitely say Garland is much more likely to get traded than Evan Mobley. Looking forward to game six. And hopefully the Cavs will take care of business. I'm with Jason, though. I kind of think Orlando's going to win before the Cavs win in seven. But hopefully that's not the case. Tonight, you have the other two of the other Eastern Conference series. Teams trying to wrap it up. 6:30, you got the Bucks and Pacers. Pacers trying to close out that series at home. And then at 9 o'clock, wow, late start on the East Coast. That's all for TV purposes because you shouldn't be starting a game on the East Coast at 9 p.m. And it'll be interesting what the crowd is like in Philly. I know some of the, like, the owner of the Sixers or somebody, I can't remember who it was, but they bought like a bunch of tickets to give to first responders in Philly because the Sixers were embarrassed that the Knicks took over. And, you know, often a lot of people think that Midwesterners have a inferiority complex when it comes to like the East Coast or the West Coast. And I actually don't think it's true. I don't believe that. But I'll tell you what cities have an inferiority complex. Philadelphia and Boston. Philadelphia and Boston are completely obsessed with New York. And Philadelphia and Boston are just poor imitations of New York. They're both solid cities. I like them both. But they're not New York. They're not as good as New York. The food's not as good. The nightlife's not as good. Nothing's as good in Philly and Boston as it is in New York. And so Philly fans, with the Knicks taking over, they lost their mind more than any other team. Worse than Dallas fans, Boston, anything else, because Philadelphia and Boston are so uptight about New York because they're jealous that New York is better than Philly and Boston. Major inferiority complex. Zach Bull, how do you feel about Logan Allen over 3.5 strikeouts tonight against Houston? So Logan Allen's last two starts has gotten over 3.5. I don't know where the Astros are. I haven't looked at it today, where the Astros are in terms of team strikeouts. I would lean against that. Logan Allen's not a big-time strikeout pitcher. I kind of like the under if I had to. I'd probably stay away. It's such a low number, but I'd stay away. Freddie, Cleveland got a little of that too. There is a little of that, but I don't think it really – it's not the same way. It's not the same way because the Midwest is just different. When my wife and I flew back from New Jersey this weekend, we were talking about how I have somebody in my family, in our family, that like always a surprise that we love living in Cleveland, and it bothers me. It really irritates me. And my wife and I have really embraced our inner Midwesterner, our inner Clevelander. When people occasionally I got haters who say, oh, we don't accept you. You're not a Cleveland. Yes, I am. I've lived here 13 years, for crying out loud. My son was born and raised here. I am a Clevelander. I'm a New Yorker, too. I'm both. But I have accepted and embraced, not just accepted, but embraced my inner Midwesterner. And I love it. And I would not want to move back. As much as I have love for where I grew up, I would not want to move back. I really would not. Knicks fans are down bad, though. Trae Young is still living rent-free 4 years later. Is he? I didn't realize that. Freddie, more space in the Midwest. Definitely true. I mean, the fact that I never sit in traffic in Cleveland, and I know there is some traffic in the morning if you go typical rush hour hours, but you know how long it's going to take. You almost never have unexpected traffic. In the New York, New Jersey area and beyond that, Chicago, Philly, Boston, down in Florida, L.A., you have all this unexpected traffic. You never know what's coming or how long it's going to take. Whenever I go somewhere here, I know exactly how long it's going to take me to get there within a minute or two. When I leave my house in the morning to go to the Ultimate Cleveland Sports Show, I always text Mike and I'm like, ETA, blah, blah, blah. And I'm never off by more than a minute, ever. Ever. And the quality of life bonus for that is unmeasurable. And I love my life here. And there are things about New York that I love, but I just would not I'd have to get paid five times what I'm getting paid. And trust me, nobody's paying me five times what I'm getting paid for me to move to New York. Five times. That's how much I love my life here. Zach Bull, you are absolutely a Clevelander. Thank you, Zach. I appreciate that. Corey C.C. Sabathia has been elected to the Cleveland Guardians Hall of Fame. Where were you, Corey? I mentioned it right off the top. Diesel, Manzardo hits 20-plus home runs this year. It's getting late for him to do that in the majors, maybe between the minors and majors if they ever called him up. Freddie says, I lived in Delaware in 95, Sunday short traffic. Yeah, the whole East Coast, the short traffic is disaster. New Jersey, it's a pain in the ass. Thanks, everybody, for joining me, as always. Thanks to everybody sending the messages. Thanks for all you subscribers. Thanks for everybody for being a part of my podcast, being a part of UCSS. I really appreciate the love. We had 40,000 subscribers on UCSS today. Getting close to 5,000 subscribers for the podcast. Please subscribe if you haven't done so already. I'm sure most of you in the chat have done so. Thanks to Monzo and Max for producing. I will be back tomorrow night. I think we're going to go live again tomorrow night after the game six, Cavs Magic. So probably about 9:30, 10 o'clock, something like that. We'll go live and react to game six. Hopefully the Cavs winning their first series without LeBron in 31 years. Until then, we'll talk to you next time. Love you all. Where else but right here in the bullpen with Adam the Bull, brought to you by Bet Rivers. Make sure you get on that Bet Rivers app. Don't mess around.
Thanks for listening to The Bullpen with Adam the Bull on the Bet Rivers Network.